Jam Session is a podcast where two guys who grew up in Dallas-Fort Worth discuss sports, craft beer, life, and their experiences living in one of America's most vibrant cities. If you love sports, you're going to love this show. If you love craft beer or you're curious about it, you'll love this show. Great conversations with good friends is what Jam Session is all about.
Welcome. It's nice to have you here. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will.
You're listening to the Jam Session Podcast.
I withdrew that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume.
With Cowboys insider...
What's your name?
Jean-Jacques Taylor.
That's my name.
Radio personality and craft beer expert, Matt McLaren.
He's a very strange young man.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing.
And now, the Jam Session Podcast.
It is indeed Jam Session. Subscribe, rate, and review, and hang out with us for a while right here on the Jam Session Podcast, sponsored by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law fights the legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal. The moment we've all been waiting for is here. It has arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, the radio, TV, and now podcast star, the sexy Jean-Jacques Taylor.
What up, dog?
I would be the non-sexy one, Matt McLaren, and this is a very special episode of the Jam Session Podcast, technically version 103, as we ask that you simply prepare to be dazzled.
If not entertained.
But man, we just couldn't wait. We had to jump on immediately after the Dallas Mavericks, Game 5. They are up 3-2 in their playoff series against the Los Angeles Clippers. It's a weird one, man. The road team has won all 5 games in this series. The Mavs go in to the Staples Center and do it again to the Clippers tonight, 105-100, the final. Behind, I put out a tweet that said, we have made first contact, and his name is Luka. I mean, are you kidding me tonight, dude?
Okay, let me tell you, dog. Okay, so first highlights, 42 points. 14 assists, 8 rebounds. All right. But to me, this is what superstars do. He didn't play good in game 4 for whatever reason. He was hurt. 19 points, I think. 9 of 23 from the field. He imposes his will on the game in the first quarter in the most important game. 19 points to start him off. Make sure his team gets off to a good start. I think that at one point they had a 10-point lead in the first quarter. That's what superstars do, man. I mean, that's just what they do. When they have the rare bad game, they bounce back with a phenomenal performance.
Just absolutely the accolades, I don't even know what to do because, you know, Trae Young for Atlanta tonight had like 36 and whatever it was, and then Luka just goes out and one-ups him. As you mentioned, I mean, the double-double, I thought he was going to get a triple-double at one point. Let's be honest, if the Mavericks could hit open shots, this dude's got easily 20 assists. I mean, if they can hit open shots, he's probably got 24 assists tonight.
At one point, I thought they were going to lose in the fourth quarter for the simple reason that I was like, he can't get you any more wide open shot than he's getting you. Somebody's got to hit him. Somebody, anybody, can you drain one of these wide open corner threes that he's creating for you? And finally, first Hardaway Jr. hitting one, and then, oh my God, the fake unicorn came up from the corner, hit a huge three, free throws at the end seal it, but big win for the Mavs, and finally, some shot making in the fourth quarter.
This is how dominant Luka Doncic is. The Dallas Mavericks made 37 field goals, 37 shots from the field tonight. Luka scored or assisted on 31 of the 37.
Unbelievable. And, you know, man, an underrated move, I thought, was started the fourth quarter. I think they were up 14. Rick Carlisle brought him back 2.5 minutes into the fourth quarter because it was obvious they had nothing on offense without him. And he was like, I'm not waiting for the lead to get down to 6 or 5 before I bring him down so he can rest. No, you got to roll, dog, and just gut it out. And I thought that's why he missed some of those shots early in the fourth quarter. I thought he got a little winded, and then I thought he found a little bit of
The dude had 37 shots. He was 7 by himself. Luka was 17 of 37. The rest of the team combined All the other guys who played in this game, and there were nine other Mavericks who saw time in this game outside of Luka. Luka's 17 of 37. The nine other Mavericks that played in this game were 20 of 52.
Because check this out, Doc. Luka ain't interested in shooting 37 times. You know what I mean? I think it's what you had to do tonight to get the dub. And so I think he realized early on that he needed to be a focal point of the offense, really run, be more aggressive, more assertive. And I think he felt better with it, with that kind of pinched nerve thing he's dealing with. And he just came out and inserted his will on the game, man.
Yeah, it helped that they had a couple of days off, and maybe that was enough time, whatever the case may be. But Luka, 6 of 12 from three-point. Now, he was 5 of 6, obviously, in the first quarter when he had 19 points. He went 1 of 6 the rest of the way. But 6 of 12 just by himself. The rest of the team was 8 of 24, including Tim Hardaway Jr., who, again, he didn't shoot the ball real well tonight. He was 3 of 10 from the three-point line, but he had a couple of big three-pointers, obviously the one very late. The Invisible Man, 8 points, 6 rebounds. And I got to tell you this. I think this is weird. It reminded me of, and I can't remember who the Cowboy was that you got heated with about, so you want me to lower my expectations then? So because I expect you to play like a Pro Bowl player, and you're not, and you want to get pissed at me. Dude, KP hit that three. Big three. Huge three. Twitter goes berserk. There's the unicorn. The unicorn is back. I'm like, so he's been so bad that we've lowered our expectation. The guy had 8 points and was an afterthought, was a nothingness in this game, but he hits one big shot and everybody's going ballistic like, oh, my God, there's the unicorn.
No. That's why I said what I said about – that's what superstars do. They have a bad game, Luka. You bounce back with a phenomenal game because you're focused, you're locked in, you're like, my team needs me. I can't play like that again for us to win. That's a different level. KP, for whatever, is showing us what he is, man. And the thing, dude, at one point in the third quarter, I literally said to myself, I was like, did he start the third quarter? Because I don't remember seeing him do anything. And to me, that's the biggest indictment. Like I told you in game four, he was okay, but I thought he played really hard and he was into it emotionally and he was diving on the floor for loose balls and he was creating contact leading to fouls where he was going up for offensive rebounds. I saw him even if he didn't score per se. This night, dog, he didn't want it, man.
No,
he
not
was invisible.
At all. Yeah.
And to me, that's, see, when we're talking about the difference between stars and superstars and guys who are almost stars, there's something inside you that has to want that moment. Like, and I made a mention of this on Twitter in third quarter. Luka sensed an opportunity for a knockout punch. And so he came down, he had the ball, they were up by 9. He had been dazzling with his passing. All of a sudden, he dribbled around and took a step back three. Now, whether you make it or not, it's, I sense an opportunity to really do some mental damage here. Let me take it. He hit it. They go up by 12, and their bench, their team is going crazy. He has that internal thing that says, let me take over. It's clear to me that Porzingis doesn't, and dude, it's not, that conversation isn't happening tonight. And this is one of those conversations where Mark Cuban's sitting down there having a maker's mark and relaxing by himself in his house watching TV or something. And he's going, I can't believe I'm paying this dude $30 million a year for this shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is you're up 3-2 in a playoff series against the Los Angeles Clippers. And your supposed second best player, the guy you're paying the most money to right now, is averaging 14-4.
Dude, and it's an invisible 14-4.
I know.
It's
like not some of the rebounds he had tonight, like, oh, well, KP just happened to be where the ball went. Otherwise, literally any other Mav would have gotten it because the Clippers had already turned around and ran down the floor.
See, I'm not. See, a lot of folks are mad at KP. I'm more of the, And you know this, Matt, when you have your kids, sometimes you give them, they do something and you give them the mad speech like, what are you doing? What are you thinking about? Where's your mind? Come on, man. Blah, da, 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 da. And sometimes you give them the disappointed speech like, man, I thought you were so much more mature than that. I thought you were growing up. And here, you know, I'm just disappointed in you, man. I have a disappointment for KP. Like, I really thought you were a baller, dog. And I'm disappointed to find out that you're not. And to me, I think that's basically who he is as a player. Like, you know, like, I don't think you can now, I don't really think, now sports is fluid. And so what's true today or what has been true might not be true, but it would take more than one game. I think he just is what he is. You can't go into a season trying to win a championship thinking he's your second best player because he's not.
And right now he's not their third best player.
I mean, he's just a guy right now. I mean, that's now, just really.
he is an average at best NBA player taking up space on your team. It helps that he's long. I mean, that helps that he's 7'3". You know, my parental speech to KP goes more along the lines of that Phil Collins song where you're no son of mine. You're no son of mine. That's how I feel about KP right now. I mean, my God, you talk about, I mean, again, people are going nuts because he hits a shot. Like, wow, oh my God, KP's on the team. I forgot. All right, look, there's some other things I want to get into, but we do need to tell you about a couple of our sponsors who really helped to make this thing possible. We told you at the top, we are sponsored by Greening Law. We really appreciate what they do for us. Robert Greening at Greening Law. If you've been injured, if perhaps you got ran over by a unicorn and you looked up and you're like, oh my God, there he is. Maybe you should call the Green Team. They will be your legal competitor against the insurance companies. If you've been hurt in a car accident, they've done all sorts of things, man. The key is if you're not sure, and I'll tell you this especially, like if somebody else's insurance is calling you, you need to get Robert Greening involved.
Oh, yeah. No doubt, man. Because the best thing about it is don't try to fight the insurance company. Don't even try to converse with the insurance company by yourself. Those guys don't play fair, man. Let the Green Team fight for you. And here's all you got to do. You pick up the phone. You say, hey, here's my situation. Here's my circumstance. What do you think? And they tell you just like this. Hey, we think we can really help you, or I don't think we can help you. I don't think it's a good fit. And you don't have to worry about whether they're being straight with you because they don't get paid unless you get paid.
Consultations are free. Give them a call. 972-934-8900. Again, that number, 972-934-8900. So call now. Office, Dallas, Texas. So a couple of these things that I wanted to point out because we kind of brought them up. But I did think that Rick Carlisle's decision to go big, as he did with the starting lineup, he put Boban out there. That's his first ever career playoff start, I believe I saw. So you had Luka with KP, Hardaway Jr., and Dodo. And I saw this note that Tim McMahon put out. Over the last 40 postseasons, only one other starting lineup was taller than what the Mavs started tonight against the Clippers. And it seemed like it helped with their length on the floor and made it a lot more difficult for them to get those drives that we saw in the last couple of games.
Well, I think that's true. And I think the other thing is the Clippers made an adjustment by going really small in terms of hoping to defend Luka better and defend some of the three-point shots better because you can get out and defend the three-point line more aggressively. Okay, so your option is let us go small and see if we can run with them. Or let us do the opposite of what they're doing. Let's go big and see if we can punish them in the lane, in the paint, with offensive rebounds, with defensive rebound. Let's see if we can do one or the other. And so that to me was a good adjustment. And, you know, man, people get caught up. What I do is I just say, does the adjustment make sense? Because sometimes they don't work, even if they make sense. This one worked, I think, in game five and created enough of a problem for the Clippers that the Mavs were able to get off to a good start.
Yeah, and they did get off to that good start, and I liked that adjustment. You know, Boban is one of those interesting guys to where he's so abnormally large. Like, he looks, and I know he's only like an inch taller than KP. He just seems bigger than KP.
No, well, what happens is I was looking at it the other day, man. When I was at the game in game four, and he was standing next to Kawhi, And Kawhi, obviously, is a big dude at 6'7 or whatever. And Boban made him look like a little kid because that's just how big he is. Because he's 7'4", but he must be 375 pounds or whatever. And it ain't fat. You know what I mean? He's just a massive human being. I wonder what he was as a baby at birth. Like, was he like a, you know, like, was he like a 14-pound baby, or was he like, you know, 8 pounds, 11 ounces?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like guys like that, they're born like really, really big, right?
You would think so.
Like where you're like, oh my God, like who was it? Oh, I heard Dirk talking about how he was 5'10 or something like that in fifth grade, where you're just like, what? Oh my God.
Wow.
Like my kid's really tall. My son is really tall for his age. He's going into fifth grade and he's like 5 foot even. I can't imagine a 5'10" guy in fifth grade, you know, but point being, and this speaks volumes both about what Boban brought tonight and what KP brought tonight. Porzingis played 30 minutes. He gave you 8 and 6. Boban played 20 minutes and gave you 9 and 7. Boban put up a better line in 10 fewer minutes than what KP put up. And I thought that was nice. And that's what I love about Boban. You don't want, you probably don't want 30 minutes of Boban. You might not even want 20 minutes of him. But when he's out there in the right situations, he can be very effective. And I thought he did a nice job tonight.
Now, he's a good player. And again, you got to pick and choose when you want to use him because he has some deficiencies because he's so tall and so massive. But if you can find the right spots to use him, he can be a very effective player, especially in spurts or to change the game up. Because part of starting that huge lineup, Doug, was the fact that they went with zone in the first half.
Right, which is, I thought, a really solid move. It really, to me, it just slowed down what the Clippers were trying to do, trying to get in the lane and make it a little bit more difficult on Kawhi. You know, one thing, and you kind of talked about this, at one point it seemed like, okay, here we go again. The Clippers are going to pull this thing out. Then the Mavs went on that crazy run to end the third quarter, a 25-5 run. But then they got cold and the Clippers were doing their thing. Here's the difference between these two teams, and this is part of the reason why it somewhat blows your mind that the Mavs have a 3-2 lead. Luka, 42. Hardaway, 20. No other Mav had double digits. The Clippers, their entire starting five had at least 10 points. Four of the five had 16 or more, and they had three dudes that had 20 points tonight. I mean, you talk about a team. It's not like Kawhi or Paul George had great nights, but they got what they needed from other guys to make this a game.
You know, until you just said that, I didn't even realize that Hardaway got to 20 because he didn't do much in the first half or the first 2.5 quarters. So, that was huge, man. They needed – you know, I kept going, and it's not like I was alone. It's not like I was breaking news, but I was like, can somebody ride with Luka? Anybody, any of these guys?
Yeah.
Because I took a screenshot at halftime. I'm like, Hardaway, you know, Jalen Brunson, anybody. Can somebody just do something? Because your guy has given you everything he's got, but you really can't win it by yourself. I mean, you got to have your other teammates with you.
Yeah, and again – yes, KP hit a huge shot. Tim Hardaway Jr. hit a huge three. Hardaway hit those massive free throws really close to the end of the game that were big. You saw the three-point shot that, who was it? Finney Smith, I think, that might have had that. You know, and then he turns around and plays phenomenal defense on Kawhi where they missed the three, and that was really what sealed the game right there. It was interesting, though, in that first half, man. Luka was 10 of 19 for 27 points. The rest of the Mavs in the first half were 10 of 23 for 29 points.
It was frustrating, but they never let the game get away from them. Even when they, you know, the Clippers had runs or whatever, they were in control of the game. And even when the Clippers went ahead, I don't think they got ahead by more than 5 or 6. And so the Mavericks were always able to stay in the game, even when they were struggling offensively. I think one thing we don't talk very much about is the Mavericks' defense. And I'd say the last 5 minutes, man.
Dude, no doubt.
They played, you know, probably about as good a defense as they can play. They switched from that zone to man sometime in the third quarter. And I think they got a little more active. But Finney Smith was terrific on defense. They started deflecting a lot of passes. Mm-hmm. They were just much more active and much better defensively the last 5 minutes. And that's why, when they were struggling so bad on offense, they never relinquished the lead because the defense was there getting stops on the other end.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was, I think it was Finney Smith that had the steal, and then that was followed up by the huge three from Hardaway Jr. They went down the floor, got another steal, followed up by the huge three from KP, and all of a sudden that four-point lead went up to 10 with just a little over 2 minutes left. Now, obviously, the Clippers...
Well, dude, Reggie Jackson hits a three, George hits a three. Then Kawhi swoops to the bucket for an and one, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I know. Like, what happened to the NBA where a 10-point lead with 2 minutes left, a game's over? Now a 10-point lead with 2 minutes left, you're like, well, I wonder if this is going overtime.
Dude.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
It is.
But here we are. Game six.
Yeah, game six. You know, the other thing from this game tonight that I thought really stood out was, yeah, the Mavs as a collective in the third quarter especially, but how about Dwight Powell, dude? You know, Dwight Powell was a plus 17 in the third quarter. He had a couple of huge offensive rebounds, and he did some things, not necessarily scoring, but man, that there was a couple of moments where it looked like Dwight Powell was out just to simply snatch some souls.
No, he was very active, and you know, we've seen really good Dwight Powell. He's coming off the Achilles, obviously, from last year, but we've seen really good Dwight Powell in spurts before, and for long stretches where he can be a guy who can pick and roll and dunk and be a 10-point a game scorer. So we've seen that guy. He gave us a flashback tonight, and it was good because the Mavericks needed that.
Now, I wanted to do this before we're going to take some questions, because obviously when you do a podcast, this is what's interesting, is I've had people that message us and go, you guys should take calls and whatnot. We don't have the ability to do that, mainly because I'm not going to put my phone number out and for public consumption. And then it would just be really weird because we can't put, like, we can't handle like a bunch of calls at this point. But one thing we can do is when we do special podcasts like this is we can post a note real quick on Twitter or Instagram or what have you, and allow some of you guys to shoot over some questions. So I wanted to address some of those. But before we get into that, let's tell you about Blue Star Motor Group. BlueStarMotorGroup.com. Deb and her husband, Mike, it's a local family-owned business. If you are looking to buy or sell your vehicle, you need to go through Blue Star Motor Group. You can give Deb a call or just shoot her a text. 817-881-4066. They specialize in superior quality Carfax certified pre-owned vehicles of all makes and models. And they're also looking to buy, dude. Like, they'll legit come to your house and give you some cash for your vehicle.
Doesn't really get much better than that. Beauty of Deb is there's no middle woman. She is it. She's the finance department. She's everybody, man. So if you need to make a deal, there's only one person you got to go to. They will bring you cash. I hear it's in a metal suitcase handcuffed to her wrist.
That'd be better than just like a duffel bag, right? Like she just drives by and throws a duffel bag out the window.
If you're looking to sell your car, because if you paid any attention to the news, you know there's a shortage of pre-owned vehicles out there right now. So everybody's looking to sell. They give you good money for your cars right now. So I can't recommend them enough, man. Blue Star Motor Group is the spot to be if you want to buy or sell your car.
Yeah, and they'll oftentimes be able to offer you a lot more than a dealership because of what you talked about. There's no middle people. I mean, it's Deb and her husband. They own the thing. They have such low overhead, they can do a lot more for you, and they have a lot more wiggle room to work with you to get things done. Check them out, BlueStarMotorGroup.com, or just give Deb a call, 817-881-4066. So we've got a few here. And we'll just go through a few of these. We really appreciate all you guys that listen to the podcast and make this possible and keep it going because we enjoy doing it. And it's awesome to see the reaction here. So Cody Johnson on Twitter, you know, this is one thing that, yes, but Cody, I'm not ready for the offseason right now because he says Luka's absolutely dominant, but can you imagine what it'll be like on a LeBron-style offseason regimen and if he can get to 80% from the free throw line? It's like, man, I'm not worried about his offseason regimen because I'm of the belief they've got at least another round to go. I will say, and I pointed this out the other day that you were surprised too, LeBron for his career averages 73% from the free throw line.
Yeah, I thought LeBron was closer to 80. Now, I know he missed a lot of free throws, and so I just thought he was closer to 80, 82%. I didn't realize that he was 73%. With guys like LeBron and Luka, man, I'm willing to accept that, obviously, But it's much more about, with the game on the line, will you drain the two free throws? And most of the time with superstars, they will.
Yeah, and that's the key, man. I mean, you've got to be able to hit the shots in pressure moments. But also, you would like to not have to do so much early in the game to where your team can actually rely on you sometimes in the fourth quarter. I mean, Luka was getting good looks. They just weren't dropping for him. I mean, he was getting really good shots. Those fades that he does where he tries to bank it in, yeah. I mean, those are just rattling out on him where I was like, really? I mean, it seems like, I was like, come on, man, I thought this would fall. But so it goes. You know what's wild about LeBron? I was just looking at this. He has never in his career shot better than 78% from the free throw line.
Is that right?
Yeah, not a single season at all better than 78%.
And nobody even notices until right now.
Yeah. So you look at, I mean, that is so wild. I wouldn't have thought that. But yeah, I mean, he's got, let's see, the last two seasons with LA, 70%, 66%.
Wow.
Yeah, so who knew?
66% is low.
Yeah, dude, especially for a guy like LeBron James, you wouldn't have thought that. Armando tweets in. He says, can this team win if Luka doesn't score 40 points? Who can step up? It's kind of the key, right? Tonight, yeah. Hardaway hit some big shots, but reality of it is, and that's what's got to be so frustrating for Luka is this idea. We thought when he had the, and we talked about this at the beginning of the series, where I was like, man, I know that the 30 and whatever triple-double and these 39 points, but where's that 50 game? I thought it was coming tonight, and then right. It's 42, and you're like, oh, man, thank God Luka had 42. I don't know who's going to step up because it's so random because you can't count on KP to do anything.
Now, ordinarily, you would say coming home, and I have a sense of what could happen, is ordinarily coming home, you'd say, well, your role players will play better, and two or three of those guys will go for, you know, 12 or 14 points, and that'll be a difference maker. I think that somebody will go off for the Mavs in the home stadium, the AAC, in Game 6, whether it's Finney Smith or whether it's Kleber. One of those guys will score about 16 to 18, who's been scoring two or four right now. And I think they will get off to that 30-11 kind of start because they'll sense it, and then it'll be, can they sustain it?
And let's obviously, hope so.
In Game 3, they couldn't sustain it. I mean, it was gone in 4 minutes. So can you sustain it and play with the lead for a little while? Because I think, and I've got tickets to the game, man.
Ooh, that's fancy.
Courtesy of some friends. And so I think it's I think they'll be geeked up and ready to go and understand that they got a chance to close it out. And so you'll get a much better performance than you got in games 3 and 4 when they were outscored by 54 points over the last 7 quarters.
So Levi Parker sent us a tweet. His question is, the Magic sustainable? He's talking about Luka. A lot of weight to carry. And I got to tell you, man, I don't know why it wouldn't be. When you look at the entirety of his playoff career, you're more likely to get the 30-whatever triple-double or the 42-14 than you are to get the 19-point performance we saw the other night.
I mean, if you're talking Luka, yeah, Luka can – I mean, he's averaging like 32 points a game in the playoffs. He's sustainable. If you're talking about winning, it's who's going to ride with him, because you basically know what you're going to get from him. Somewhere around 32-9-9 is what he's going to give you. Who else will show up and play? That's really the question. And we don't know the answer because you can't write any of these guys down as, oh, I can count on you for this. You can't do that with any of them. Hardaway might give you 24. He might give you 8. I mean, you just don't know.
Miguel Torres, his question, will the unicorn make an appearance for Game 6 to help close out the series? No.
I was going to say, he may make an appearance, but I'm not counting on it. I mean, I don't think you can count on the unicorn. Matter of fact, I'm not calling his ass a unicorn anymore.
Well, again, he's the unicorn because of how rare he shows up and does something special. Not because of the player that he is, but because the performance is so rare. We ought to call him the bear because they hibernate and randomly show up. I don't know what you call him, man, but no, I don't think he... I mean, what have you seen in this series that leads you to believe that unicorn level KP is coming to play in Game 6?
Nothing. And you know, I get it from a pragmatic perspective. Like, and I made a couple of points today. He touched the ball in the fourth quarter. He's like, hey, take this thing back, man. I ain't interested. I don't want the thing. So it's clear to me that he ain't playing with no confidence. They went off to him early in game four to try to get him involved. And I don't even know that I would do that, man. If he gets involved, he gets involved. But I would tell Luka in game six, hey, bruh, be as aggressive as you can be in the first quarter. Get us off to that start, and let's try to deliver that early knockout punch where even when we put you on the break, we can't blow the lead. Put you on the bench, we can't blow the lead.
Yeah, a lot of the questions are about KP, and understandably so. I think this is funny. I guess it's Shep.com or whatever, however you pronounce your Twitter handle, dude. But he says, the Mavs should give away Clippers gear for game six to make it feel like an away game. He's not wrong.
Yeah, I get it. But, you know, they've been average or suspect at home all year.
Yeah.
They've been actually pretty good on the road all year. So, and, you know, we talked about it before game five that they had won so much in L.A. that they should certainly feel comfortable winning out there. Like, they shouldn't feel like, oh, my God, we're going out there. We have no chance on the Clippers' home court. I mean, you've been winning out there all year. So there was no need to believe you could not win. It was just a matter of would you win. And they found a way to get it done, man. And, you know, the Mavericks have had, I believe, in their history, 12 series where they've gone into series 2-2.
Yeah.
And the winner of game five, man, has won every one of them up till now.
Yeah, and the winner of game five in these situations historically in the NBA wins 82% of the time. I mean, look, this is the Clippers. This is Kawhi Leonard, who has been there and done that. And again, a guy that has that much experience, he's going to show up for game six. You'd hope you can close it out at home so you don't have to even worry about getting on a plane and going back to L.A. and you can just get ready for it. I guess it's going to be Utah if they advance in the next round because the Jazz won tonight.
Right.
And so they eliminated Memphis. So I believe that it would be that 4-5 matchup. You move on, you would play Utah in the next round. Right. But yeah, I mean, if you can get an extra day or two before that even starts to allow Luka whatever time he needs, because they're going to need him. But again, I mean, I was looking at that just real quick tonight. When you look at Utah closing out the series, and this is what's going to be really difficult. If they win this series with the way the rest of the team has played outside of Luka. And again, Tim Hardaway Jr., 3 20-plus point games in this series. But you look at the Jazz tonight, and this is the type of thing that's just difficult to overcome because you say, okay, yeah, Donovan Mitchell gave you 30-10, but then Rudy Gobert showed up and gave you 23-15. And then, oh, by the way, Bogdanovich gave you 17. And then O'Neal gave you 17. And then Clarkson came off the bench and gave him 24. The Mavs don't have guys doing that.
No, they don't.
And that's a big problem for them right now. And who knows, maybe game six will be the night like you kind of talked about where somebody else steps up and does something you just don't see coming. But you cannot consistently rely on Luka to do what he did tonight and expect you're going to win most of those games.
Nah. It's the other guys have got to show up, man, in some capacity. They can't be having twos and fours and sixes. They got to hit double digits and be factors offensively. And how about this, man? Just make the wide open threes when he creates them for you. At a 40% clip like you've been doing all year. If you could do that, you can put up some points and win some games. Outside of that, man, you make it very, very difficult to pull off the dub.
I mean, dude, oh, it's one of those things, man. It's going to be very exciting. As we all know at this point, there is no two-game break this time. It is Friday night. It's going to be rocking at the American Airlines Center. Not like that mattered for games 3 and 4. Who knows what's going to happen? I have no idea what to expect from this team coming back. I know Luka's going to bring it. Hopefully that's enough. And, man, I hope to God they close this thing out and this does not go 7.
No, man, it would be fantastic to watch them do it in game 6. I think they got a shot to do it in game 6, man. because I think the electricity you saw in game three will translate to game six. It's just that when they get off to that great start, you know, again, can you sustain it? Like, you know, I say this all the time. Yeah, they were up 30-11, but they really never played with a 20-point lead.
Right.
You know, before you looked at it, it was, you know, it was down to 10, then it was 8. I mean, they just never had it. So can you get it up to 20? Can you get it up to 15 and then play with it for 3 or 4 minutes or 5 or 6 minutes and make it seem like, you know, that's kind of where we're going? Then you can get off on another little run and stretch it to 20, and, you know, that's how you can bring it on home.
I like the chances as well. I said it when they went up 2-0. I believe Luka is that guy. He has taken his game to a level that we've never even seen before. He is that guy, man. And he made Luka this thing by himself into the second round of the playoffs, which is somewhere the Mavs have not been since 2011, 10 years ago. There's a lot more of you guys on Twitter. And look, Jacques and I are meeting in less than 12 hours to record another podcast. But we wanted to jump on and give our immediate reactions and just do a real Mavs-centric podcast here for you guys just real quick to talk about the excitement of this win and our feelings after this game. But we're going to be recording another one that will drop on Friday before Game 6, and we'll go a lot more in depth. We'll answer some more of these tweets. We're going to have Clarence Hill Jr. is going to join us, going to have Just the Sip coming up as well, so we're going to have fun doing that. But wanted to do this one as the Mavs are up 3-2 over the Los Angeles Clippers. No matter what happens, they have done better this year in the playoffs than they did last year, and they might win it instead of losing in six, but we know they can't lose in six. Maybe seven, we'll see, but I think they close it out on Friday night, and we'll see what Utah offers in the second round when that happens. But I appreciate it. Hope you guys enjoyed this one, man. What is it, 12:30?
Yeah, bro. It's 2.5 hours past your boy's bedtime.
Yeah, it's a late one tonight. So we will talk to you guys again soon. Be looking forward to the next podcast. It'll drop on Friday. That is coming up for you. God, that's, I guess, technically tomorrow, since this is dropping June 3rd. We'll have the next one out June 4th. So be ready for it. Go Mavs. Thanks for listening to the Jam Session Podcast. Make sure to find us on Instagram at Jam Session Cast. Of course, on Twitter at McMatt Radio, at JJT_journalist. As always, this podcast sponsored by Greening Law, a personal injury law firm in Dallas, Texas. Greening Law fights the legal battle so you have time for healing and renewal. So give them a call, 972-934-8900, 972-934-8900, Greening Law Office, Dallas, Texas. Thanks to Purple Elephant Music for the music you hear at the end and beginning of each episode. He, of course, is a radio, TV, and now podcast star, the sexy Jean-Jacques Taylor. And me? Well, I'm just a guy, Matt McLaren. We'll catch you next time on the Jam Session Podcast, available everywhere you listen to podcasts.